And so good to have y'all here tonight. God bless you. You may go and be blessed. Got the tickle with all this rain. Well, we're going to speak on grace. This is that second lesson, the grace of Jesus. Let me see if I've got my fill in here. I do. Yep, somebody's phone going off. And I have handed out some scriptures for some to read out for me in just a moment. But a lot of people get hung up on grace. I do not get hung up on grace because we were under law for so many years. How many have been under law? I'm telling you, law is mean. It's got a mean spirit to it, you know. Now, our senior pastor, he's in heaven, and don't think I've got any judgments or unforgiveness towards him, but he was a tough leader. But it wasn't, it was law, okay? It wasn't, huh? Yeah, right. Because, you know, what does it say in the Old Testament? Dave, you're the scholar on that, but... You know, you get one, you got to line up and do this law, and you got to do that one. And if you fail one of them, then can't make it. But hey, turn on over to the New Testament. We live in the New Testament days. The law and all of the Old Testament was meant for our lessons, our teachings, our way of life. Yes, we do. I mean, come on, the Psalms isn't there, Proverbs. Of course, we refer to everything, but not the law and the anger of the Lord, because we are under the grace of Jesus Christ. So over the years that we pastored, what is this? We've already missed our anniversary. Happy anniversary to us. June the 22nd was 26 years that we started the church. Is it tomorrow? It's tomorrow. Oh, well, I knew that. I'm like, I just suddenly thought of that. All right, it's tomorrow. Well, Dave, we'll have to get us a piece of birthday cake or something. And we started River of Life Church, came here and started with two people. And I met those two people when Matthew and I were staying back with the stuff and letting him finish and graduate from high school. And then we drove up. But Dave, Andrew, and Charlie were already here. Andrew, our oldest, you know, some of you know about our oldest and so forth. He was the worship leader. And he's got an amazing voice, but the devil has lied to him. But, you know, God's got it. You know, even Isabel had two or three words over him. No, she said two words in the last year and a half. And she has never met him, and she's never touched him because he won't come around her. So, anyways, God's got it, huh? He knows where you are, and he's going to call him back to the fold. Hallelujah. But Charlie played the guitar, Matthew did the drums and the sound, and so we stayed in that mode for quite a while and moved from place to place and in hotels and meeting places. We lived in Cary. Dave says, the church is going to be in Cary. That's what the Lord spoke to me about. That's what he told Tim's brother down in Fayetteville and Brother Ken. So the church has never been in Cary. But we lived in Cary for several, many years, and we had Bible studies. So I just had the living room. We had no furniture in it. We had chairs lined up. I had the keyboard. And every Wednesday and Sunday night, we just opened the windows, and we'd do like the Southerners do. We just sang and sang and sang real loud. People passing on the streets. It's like, hey, you know, we've got our rights to do this too, you know, to carry on and conduct what we want. But being spirit-filled, that was just something that was not happening in this area. But, you know, God called a remnant. And I thank Brother Tim. Where are you, Brother Tim? Brother T, where are you? And so God called them. And guess how God called him to the church first? On the radio. We had a radio program. And he heard it. And Dave said, on the radio program... There are many of you that love to be in large churches, and you just like to be in a large church so you can hide out, so you don't have any responsibility and you don't have to do anything. And Tim goes, oh, well, he's just talking about me. So then Tim listened again. He was on his way to work. He listened again. And then he just came over and began to fellowship with us, and the rest is history on that. So God bless Brother Pastor Tim Rabelais for joining us so many years ago. Amen. All right, the grace of Jesus. In 1 John, I don't know what scriptures you have. Which is your first scripture? I forgot to ask the order. Okay. All right, then I'm going to read 1 John 4, 2, and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And, of course, we know about that. And I've always said, too, be careful that you tell people, you know, oh, yeah, I worship God. But you also have to mention the name of Jesus. And you know that, and you've heard it, too, how so many people get offended by the name of Jesus. They're okay when you say God and you say the name of Jesus. But we are under the umbrella, the Holy Spirit umbrella of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, Acts 10:38. Got that one? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. Now, number one says, Jesus lived as a man under grace, operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. It was not under his own power, but it was under the power of the Holy Spirit. And there again, people seem to get offended by the Holy Spirit. Joseph Prince recently said, boy, you can mention about speaking in tongues, and people are just, you know, so many, of course, we're for it, but so many religions, no, they think it's, you know, the devil's tongue and so forth, but they haven't been taught the word of the Lord, that it's a strengthening and it's a leader and it guides us, and he guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. Amen. Acts 10:38. I just read that. And then number two, Jesus was not born with grace to do miracles, but he grew into it. He never sinned, but his source of victory was the same as ours. I want to read a scripture before you read the Hebrews. Luke 2:40 says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. So he grew into the grace and he grew into the miracles as a child, learning more wisdom from his father. And that's easy to understand. But his source of victory was the same as ours, found in Hebrews 4:16. Got it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A lot of people will, you know, even in the stores, and they're not godly people, but they go, oh, mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. But they must have some knowledge or some background of the Lord, but many don't. But people are not saying, oh, have grace. But grace and mercy are the same. If we've got mercy, we've got grace. If we've got grace, we've got the mercy of the Lord. Let's see, number three. God always gives more grace than there is power to sin. Grace is not God's ability to overlook our sin, but his ability working in you to deliver us from sin. So grace is a work inside of us, okay? When I say work, I'm not saying works. We don't do the works because we've rested in that. While we're resting, God is working, is what we always say. But his ability is working in us to deliver us from sins. And I want to read James 4:6 and Romans 5:20. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And people, when they have a proud spirit, you know, at the workplace, in your neighborhood, you know, husbands, wives, family members, brothers, sisters, you know, God says, I resist that, you know. But moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. If we're going to have grace ourselves, we've got to be grace showers. We've got to show the grace of the Lord. In every circumstance, yes. Have I had issues, like they say on the radio, issues with that? Oh, yes. Because I'm human just like you are. We all fall and don't realize that we need to watch our mouths and keep focused on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've had people over the years, we've had about maybe, what, four or five people, and they've left because we said we were a grace church. They don't like the sound of that. They said, you know, we call that the greasy grace. Anybody ever heard that in church, you know? And slip and slide, and you can do anything you want, and then you can immediately be forgiven. No, that's not true. And that's not what grace means. That's not the goodness of the Father. You have grace because you want to do what is right. And if your heart is fixed on Him, you have no problem with that. You want to be led by Jesus. You want direction from Him. You want love from the Father so that you can show mercy and grace to other people. Amen? All right. I want, Diane Erlett, I want you to read your scriptures first. And I guess I'll have to bring the microphone to you, huh? Or can you meet me halfway? Yeah. We'll get... All right, good, good. Run it for me.
Speak low and slow.
Okay. How's this? Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
All right, do you have any comment on that scripture about grace working in you?
Well, I believe this was Paul, and he said right before this that they didn't know what things were going to come, but that it didn't matter because they were in the grace of God.
Yeah.
And he was just going to finish his work, and that's all that mattered.
Amen. Amen. Okay, who has another scripture? Who wants to go? Sue, you want to go next?
I didn't know we were supposed to comment on this.
Yeah, comment on it. We'll see what you have.
Acts 14:3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Acts 15:11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they, meaning the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Got a little comment on that? I forgot a paper, so go ahead.
Well, I could just say about grace, you know, before I get up to sing, I ask the Lord, I say, I want you to be with me, Lord. I need grace to do it. And he's always very gracious.
Yes.
To give me grace, I feel.
Amen.
God's ability.
Hallelujah.
He sure has been so far. She does a good job.
Amen. Yeah, I had a paper in here. I needed to read something to you in just a moment. But, you know, I love that we are a grace church. I'm sorry if people are offended. I had enough law to last a lifetime. Dave had enough law to last a lifetime. And when we first got married, there was he would look at me sometimes. It's like, I don't understand that. I don't, you know, and I'd be going on, you know, because it was about law stuff and all that. Finally, he just said, what's wrong with you? You know, because he was not raised in church, but I was. But all of the teachings messed me up big time. And I didn't feel like I could live up to it. I was condemned all the time. I didn't have joy. I didn't have, you know, I didn't have the peace, but I didn't have the understanding. I had no good groundwork of teaching because it was all law-based. So when I ask people today and they come out of other religious statements and beliefs, like a lot of the different ones, they say, we don't care about grace, we don't care about the jar, we care about what's in this book that we wrote. That means like the board wrote the book and that was the, you know, the covering for the entire particular religion that it was, you know. But we said, Lord, if you get us out of the law, we will speak and we will preach grace the rest of our lives. And not to offend anybody, but to tell them that we love them and we want them to know that Jesus Christ is the man of God and he is full of grace and he's full of mercy. Amen? Okay, and not of the works, but of the rest of God. All right, I want to talk about the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit. comparing it to mercy and grace, okay? You got jealousy going on, but the desire of the spirit is joy. Lack of love for God, but the desire of the spirit is peace. Lack of love for others, desire of the spirit is patience. Guilt, but the desire of the spirit is kindness. Worry, the desire of the spirit is goodness. Disobedience is of the flesh, but it says in the spirit there's gentleness. Impure thoughts, desire of the spirit, self-control. Frustration, over to the desires of the spirit, faithfulness. A critical spirit, and the desire of the spirit is love. And I like that. I like the comparison there so that we can really know and understand that it's the grace and the goodness of our Father God that gives us the motivation to say, you know, I can spread this good news. I have the grace of God, and I want to give it to everyone that I come in contact with. Amen? All right. Let's see. Somebody else has a scripture. Gianna. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have two scriptures. The first one is, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts 4:33. You want me to comment on that or read both of them?
Hmm?
Which one?
You read them both? Yeah,
okay. And who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart, would cleave unto the Lord. Okay, so who when he came?
Did I cut something off on the page?
No. It's just one is from 4:33 and the other's 11:23.
Okay.
Acts. So, He gave us, Acts 4:33, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. So the power he gave us came with great grace. The power that he put in us through us witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ came great grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, y'all. I'm struggling today. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with the purpose of heart, would they cleave unto the Lord. Anybody got comment on that one? Because I don't know. Lord, forgive me.
Anyone? Okay. Huh? Okay. Let's see who else we have. All right, Lisa.
John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 1:16-17, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And my comment is a little bit more about me and my journey. When I first came to the Lord and I heard about touching the hem of his garment, I knew that that was something that I needed to try and figure out how to do. And I have been striving and striving and striving, and I finally realized that I'm not supposed to be striving, that I'm supposed to let the Lord do this. And his grace and his mercy is inside of me, and that I'm going to just happily spend the rest of my life trying to bring it out.
Very good, very good. Okay, I have another one. Is it Virginia? Virginia? Mm-hmm. Did I have one more? I think Virginia's the last one.
Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. But if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abound unto many. Parentheses. Adam bought death through his sin. Jesus takes away sin and gives life. Mm. Where sin abound, grace didn't much more abound.
Amen.
Okay.
Adam brought in the sin, but Jesus takes away the sin. Hallelujah. I want to read 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So this, I love this part about his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I don't want anything in my life to be in vain. I've always been like this, you know. Don't stay neutral. Either you're going to serve God or you're not. Don't be lukewarm. If you're going to do what you say, then do it. If you're going to live by the goodness of the Lord, then let's go ahead and do it. If you're going to bless people, let's go ahead and do it. You know, follow through your own life, and then that spills out into other people's lives as well. Amen? Anybody got a comment so far about grace? Yes. Oh, Brother Dave, I'm coming. There goes.
When I met Grace, which is obviously the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was overwhelmed. I don't know how some people meet or come in contact initially with God's grace, if they're overwhelmed or it's just, well, it's just another experience. But with me, it was just overwhelming. Knocked me off my horse. The way I wanted it to be, I think, you know, if I'm going to go through the kind of experience I need to go through in order to grab a hold of what God has for me, then I need to go for this thing. I need to go for. But I was totally caught unaware, totally. I don't see anybody can be not be caught unaware by just God's power and grace. And I'm looking back on it, I'm happy for it. It's a moment I never forgot years ago.
Amen.
Never will. Mm.
Thank you so much. And this one scripture says, as we Romans 6:3, 4, and 6, and 11, as we walk by grace through faith, we have no desire to sin. If we do sin, the Lord's blood has already covered it. And this means that we are in fellowship with the Lord. His blood will continually cleanse us from all sin. That's the walking and talking we talk about all the time, you know. You're going to walk with him, you're going to walk the walk, and you're going to talk the talk. Amen? All right, back to number four. What is grace and what does it do for us? Grace is mentioned 170 times in the Bible. Now, I'm thinking he wants us to get it. What do you think? He wants us to get the grace and receive the grace of the Lord and not to say, oh, it's just the greasy grace and you can do anything you want and all that. No, that's never been the definition. Grace is God's unmerited favor for what we did not deserve. But he says, you know, I'm going to give you that favor because you're my child. You're my princess. You're my prince. You're my king. You're my queen. And I thank you, Father, for the unmerited favor that he's given me all of these years. Next one, grace is God's loving kindness. Every time I see the word loving kindness, I want to sing that song, Thy Loving Kindness is Better Than Life. So that has to do with the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Amen? Grace and mercy are like two heads of the same coin. Mercy is withholding judgment or evil that I deserve. Well, I thank you, Father, that we do carry the mercy and grace with us everywhere we go. Grace is God giving me blessings or good that I do not deserve. And we'll stop on the blessings again. So, again, Sue has spoke on this on a Tuesday, and she gave us this book, The Power of Blessing Others. I have bought the farm on it. I really have. It's something I've been blessing my neighbors, the ones that don't speak, the ones that have, you know, done vile things and so forth. We bless Dave's body. I bless our house. I bless our neighborhood. I'm blessing the mailboxes when I'm walking past them, that the whole household will serve the Lord. It just goes on and on with the blessings of the Lord. And so you'll hear more about that. But grace is God giving me blessings or good that I do not deserve. So I thank you, Father, for that. Both mercy and grace come to me through Jesus Christ. Well, that's an easy one because I keep saying the mercy and grace over and over because that's what our lesson is about, and that's what I feel all the way down inside of me. Grace can be defined as God's sufficiency or God's fullness in the life of a believer. So when we are full of God, even though we have the issues, we have the circumstances, we say, God, you know, I've got the word in me. I can walk through this. I use Joyce Meyer a lot with all these old tapes that I had years ago. Remember the one about me, myself, and I? Then she get into all the pity stuff. Well, you're only going to have a pity party, and it's just going to be you that's going to attend, okay? You can have a cake set out and candle on it, but nobody's going to come to your pity party. It's not good to throw out the pity on and take, you know, like you're a pitiful person. And that's what was wrong with me when Dave and I first got married. I'm like, Lord, a terrible, pitiful soul that I am, and I serve you, but yet you chose me. And, you know, just want to hear those pearly gates. I can go right in. They swing wide open. They click behind me. And still so many people believe that. I'm going to talk about Drew Roos and Drew and Wanda, Dave, in Louisiana. And they would have tent revivals all the time. And they just both loved it. And we're like, we just don't get it. Why the tent revivals? Why don't you get them into a church? He said, the Lord told me, I'm going to give you grace and we'll give you mercy to go out into the tents and go to different towns. And he said, then the Lord spoke to me, the reason that people will come into the tent is because they don't feel like they're worthy to go in the church. Now, that's a bad statement. That's like, uh-oh. You know why? Because that means, I'm talking about they don't feel like worthy going in the church. It's a bad statement, meaning that they don't feel like they have a place. Are they going to be criticized? Are they going to be judged? Are they going to be shamed? And this is what we want and we do avoid here. You know, if I've judged anybody, I ask you to forgive me. I don't believe that I have. If I've done anybody wrong, I ask you to forgive me. I'll come to you. I want everything in my life to line up with the word of the Lord. But I thought that was amazing that Drew and Wanda said that. And it's true. People did not think they were worthy enough to step foot into the church, but they would come under the tent and get gloriously saved. And then eventually they came to the church after about 6 weeks of tent meetings. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, tattoos are a big issue, and jewelry and the right clothes. And, you know, we like for people to dress, but, you know, sometimes you have to take the fish just like they come in. And then what are you going to do? You're going to love them into the kingdom, you know? In New Orleans, sorry, y'all, I'm going to get off the path here. So to talk about the grace of the Lord, so Brother Green would send me, and I'd be going, oh. He'd send me to tell these ladies, you know, put your dress down. You're on the front row. And then Sister Green would come to me with something else. I have to go to him. You need to wear deodorant because people can smell you. Well, now, New Orleans is a pretty humid place, okay? But I said it in love, but then they sent me to do it. I hated that because I didn't want to pinpoint people. I just wanted to love them. And after you love them into the kingdom, then I just say, God will clean up the fish, you know? So anyway, y'all might have some different views on that, but I love people just like they are. That's why we love to reach out to the homeless and the ones that are kicked under the curb of the bus and so forth, you know? And of course you do too, amen? All right, let's see, where was I? I was on blessings. Next one, both mercy and grace come to me through Jesus Christ. Grace can be defined as God's sufficiency or God's fullness in the life of a believer. Grace will strengthen us in our weakness. It's there, and we don't have to beg for it. It abounds to us, meaning coming in our direction all the time. You know, when we are at our weakest, then we say that we're strong. So Dave has been very weak, yet we've been saying we're strong in the Lord. In my weakness, then my strength comes from you. What are you saying? Did you say something? Yeah. In my weakness, then I'm going to say I am strong in you, Lord. I can do all things. This is a tough one, but I'm going to walk through it because in my weakness, you're going to strengthen me, and I don't have to beg for it. It's there, and I just take it. That's what we always say. I'll just take it. Amen. God is enough no matter what the situation we face. This is how we become secure in his image and his likeness. Now, when we say God is more than enough, Dave would always say, you know, when you're, it applies to everything, but he would be talking about giving tithes and offerings, but it can apply into if you're a giver of yourself, you know, a worker in the field. Or you're blessing people, you know, you have a casserole and you divide that in half and take it to, you know, a mom that's got several little children and they don't have enough food and so forth. But this is, we become secure in the image and the likeness of the Lord. I like to, when I think about image, I like to talk about mirrors. And we're the mirror image of Jesus Christ. And we stand in front of the mirror a lot, don't we? And we're looking. Sometimes you like what you see, sometimes you don't. But the image of Jesus never changes. And I want to be more and more like him so that I have his what? If you're looking in front of a mirror, speaking of Jesus and spiritual, you have the reflection of him. Reflection of Jesus Christ is what we all want. We want to shine for him in the spirit. We want the likeness of him to be in us, and that comes through grace and mercy. Amen? All right, before I get to that second page, I had one more thing to share right here in this teaching. When you depend upon your own abilities, you are in the flesh. The word frustrate means neutralize. Here, falling from grace is not losing the born-again experience. Rather, it is when you leave the realm of God's ability for your own performance. Then we can say with Paul, to whatever degree we are weak in an area, God's grace can make us strong. Amen? I like that one. All right, on the second page, here are a few different types of grace. Now, I need help from y'all, too. All right, here is, and we'll talk about each one of these, common grace, saving grace, sanctifying grace, provisional grace, miraculous grace, serving grace, and sustaining grace. So how many other graces can we have? Somebody call out a grace. I was hoping. I said I wanted somebody to call that one up. All right, amazing grace. Another one. Oh, greater grace. And by the, you know, we got a song for everything too. Loving grace. Anything else? Huh? Forgiving grace. Love it.
And the scripture says great grace.
All right, great grace. All right. Lasting, everlasting grace. All right, give me another one. Abounding grace.
Grace, grace, and more grace.
Yes. And we say grace, grace. There's a scripture like there, isn't it? Or there's a translation, grace, grace. Okay, anything else? Oh, eternal grace. Think of that one. Isn't it good to think upon all these things? Another one? Oh, undeserved. A what?
Sufficient grace.
Oh, unstoppable grace. Oh, I like that one. Like an ever-flowing stream, amen? All right, anything else? Yeah, I've got the saving grace. Got another one? Anybody else think of one? Okay, I want to talk about the common grace. You know, a lot of times God gives us common sense to know and do the right thing. And so we walk in that. We say, I'm going to have common grace in this. Abiding by the scripture, don't get in there and change the scripture and rearrange it so that it works for you, but abide by what the word of the Lord says. Amen. And the saving grace, I want to talk about the saving grace of my daddy who received the Lord at 86. You may have other stories, but mine is an amazing story because my dad was something else to live with, and we never felt loved. We did feel loved as he got way up in age, and the grandkids felt loved too, but he had surrendered a lot of his life at that time. But I thank you, Lord, for the saving grace that my mother had to stay with him. I don't believe that I would have stayed, you know, because she had so many reasons to leave, you know, drinking, womanizing, anger, lots more of other stuff. And so much verbal abuse and so forth. But she stayed, you know. And God gave her the saving grace to stay and to pray for him. It's an individual situation with many people. And you have to make that decision on your own, you know. Because sometimes you just run out of reasons why you should stay. And according to Scripture, you live by the Word of God and according to Scripture. And the Lord will show you what to do. But with my mom, she said, the Lord has told me to stay. And we're like, why? You know, we're young teenagers. We're like, haven't you had enough yet? We're telling my mom, here's Janie. I'm 14. She's 15. We're like, we'll get jobs. We'll support. She says, what kind of job? Where are we going to live? And then the main question, who's going to believe us in this little town? Because my dad was very nice and kind and very popular in the town. But she had that saving grace that she had heard from the Lord to not only pray for him. And if this is what you feel like you have in your marriage, then you stay and you pray and you have the saving grace for your loved one. Amen. This also bleeds over to brothers and sisters and also relatives that have a lot of warfare and fighting with each other, can't get along, jealousy, envy, and so forth. We are the ones, if you hear the word of the Lord, then we're the ones that have to step up, right? God gives the assignment to us to step up and take complete control of our emotions so that we can pray for them. Sanctifying grace. I like it about being sanctified. That means we're just clean before Him. He sanctifies us. He cleans us up, and we walk in that sanctification. Provisional grace. There's always provision for the people of the Lord. Everything on the news, I'd say don't listen to all of it, you know. You get so frightened with money and food shortage, and then they say the honeybees are down to such a low number. Do you know we cannot live? Does everybody know that about honeybees? I could give a whole sermon on honeybees. I love it. But without the bees to pollinate the crops, everything fails. There will be no food. You can, oh, well, we'll grow it in the greenhouse. No, you won't. Because the pollination, the nature of God and the nature that He set up, it's all got to be in balance. But God says, I will give you provisional grace. That means your income, your desires to have your children successful, for that they might have provision for food, provision on your jobs, and provision for the future. Miraculous grace. I love the word miraculous. That just means an explosion goes off in my head when I think of the miraculous grace of God. There's no end to it, and I get excited about it, thinking about how miraculous and wonderful and awesome that God is, just to me. I know He is to you, but it's so wonderful for Him to give me the grace and the mercy. Serving grace. We have serving grace to serve others in the body of Christ. Some are easy to serve. Some may be not too easy to serve. But we do it as unto the Lord. Amen. And then the sustaining grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus will hold us and sustain us through any storm, any high winds that come. And if we hold on to Him and don't take the fear, we can't take the fear. Yeah, we all get a little weak, and you get under it, then you say, nope, and you get the scripture, you get some worship and praise in. You're like, I'm on track again, Lord. I know that I have the sustaining grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to read some of these other ones about the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, the wonderful song, the greater and loving grace, the forgiving and everlasting grace, the abounding grace, and also the eternal grace. I thank You, Father, that we have eternal grace from You that will take us into eternity with You as well. And I just pray that we will have the mercy and grace of the Father to follow through with even the most challenging of people. And I've told y'all a lot about our neighbor. And then this is before I got that Power of the Blessing book. Thank you, Sue, so much. Oh, God bless you. when she gave it to me, I'm like, thank you so much. You read the book and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not doing this right. I've got to do it the correct way about blessing our enemies. And I have been blessing her and blessing her. And I was talking to the Lord. It's going to be a tough one, God. I don't know whoever is going to win her over to You. Talk to her about Jesus, lead her to salvation. And he says, you will. I'm like, okay. So that time has not come, but I'll take the assignment. It's not your assignment because you don't live on my street. It's my assignment. So I'm like, Lord, I'll take it. I'll take that assignment that I will lead this lady to You, Jesus. All right, I want us to all say together our declaration, okay? Are you ready? Jesus says that His grace is sufficient in me, for when I feel weak, He is strong. In my weakness, I receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. God gives us unmerited favor in so many different ways, and His grace is able to make all things at all times abound towards me in every good work. Thank You, Jesus, as I look to You for strength and I lift my praise and thanksgiving up to the heavens. Your grace is miraculous. It blesses us. It sustains us. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed this good lesson on grace. And I know I could have added a bunch of other points. But